listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and we got a few minutes left this morning. We're going to talk about one of the most important things that there is in the church, whether you're a pastor or whether you're a layperson. That is the preaching of God's Word and the role we have in that. My guest in studio is Dr. David Schmidt, a professor at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, professor of homiletics, which means preaching, real fancy way of saying preaching. We're going to talk a little bit about, or at least a starting point, something called the Preach the Word Project, which is an emphasis that our synod is doing to try to help continue the conversation about preaching, both for pastors and continuing education, and then for the people to be engaged in not just listening, but also talking back a little bit. Yeah. So welcome to the show.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
So talk about the genesis of the Preach the Word Project a little bit. What is this thing?
Well, the Preach the Word Project is a way for the pastors of the Lutheran Church to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, actually.
Okay.
So we thought it would be a wonderful thing for pastors to all gather around the task of preaching and the proclamation of the word for the sake of God's people and those who do not yet know him.
And then how is the set of modules or the organization, how is it going to equip that or enable that to happen?
Well, it's a three-year program, and each year there will be three or four modules that will be released. And we envision pastors working in triads.
Okay.
So working together with one another, three guys choose to work with one another, and the module will take them through three actions. Basically, I like to think of it as three conversations. There
okay.
will be a theological conversation about preaching that the pastors will have with a video-based lectures and a learning guide so that they can work with a topic about preaching, law and gospel, preaching in the sacraments, catechetical preaching, those types of topics.
Sure, sure.
Then there will be the congregational conversation where the pastor will actually preach a sermon that tries to put into practice some of the things he's learned in the module,
mm-hmm.
and then he will converse with his parishioners about preaching. Now, we're envisioning that some of the pastors might want to kind of do a conversation with parishioners about the module before the sermon so
mm-hmm.
that listeners are educated about preaching, and then preach and then converse with parishioners afterwards. So that's the second part of the module. And then the third part of the module is the pastors will post these sermons so that their triad can
right.
view them. And then they will discuss with one another what went well, what didn't go well, and what would be the best steps for moving forward.
I think clearly, I mean, all of it sounds valuable. One of the most valuable things in there, but also perhaps one of the most scary for the pastor, was that second part
right.
about getting a small group together to say, so tell me everything I do wrong with my preaching, right?
Well, that's one way of thinking about
well,
it,
that's,
right?
That's how you're going to hear it, right?
That's how some pastors would hear it.
Yeah.
I tend to think, I mean, we believe that preaching is God's voice.
Mm.
God is speaking. And
right.
if God is speaking, you think his people might talk about it.
Right.
They might talk to one another about it. They might talk to strangers about it. They might talk to the pastor about it. And so it's an opportunity. I mean, we have, as a church body, we have such a robust theology of the Word of God.
Right.
But our practice is not robust. And this is a way of seeking to make the practice more robust.
So when you say that, what do you mean?
I mean that if people really believe God spoke on Sunday, they might talk about it.
Yeah, right.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. No, I hear you.
So, I mean, that's our theology, but is that our practice?
One of the things that always in the parish I would struggle with, because on the one hand, I wanted that to happen, but I didn't know how to even have this conversation, was, I mean, why don't you guys go home and talk about what I said?
Is it
that bad? Am I that boring? Yeah. Or are we culturally trained to treat this as sort of, it's a 15-minute diatribe. I got to do my duty of sitting underneath it. It'll be over soon. Game's on.
Right. Yeah. And so it's seeking to enliven that dialogue with
right.
the pastor and his congregational members beyond shaking hands at the door and saying, good sermon, pastor.
Right.
So that you're actually talking about what was heard, what it means, how it works in one's life.
So what we'd really, in some ways, like to see is having parishioners approaching their pastors and saying, hey, this sounds like a really neat project. I'd like to learn more about how to listen to preaching, and this is a way for us to do that, for you to teach me this. And, Pastor, you might even get something out of it.
Right, yeah. And it's, all of the topics of the module need to be thought through in terms of the pastor's own competency
mm-hmm.
and the pastor's context. And so it's not like it's a one-size-fits-all. There's theology and theory, But then when you put it into practice, it depends upon the pastor's skill sets, mm-hmm. upon the congregational setting in which he is involved, and what is most appropriate in that setting for okay. the service of preaching God's word. And so those conversations seek to help pastors work through that.
Right. Are the triads, is that something you would have to come prepared for, or is that something that the organization itself will provide or cook you up with the groups?
No, the groups are self-selected. So
okay.
we want pastors to choose fellow pastors with whom they are comfortable.
Okay. Right. So there's some trust involved.
So there's trust involved. You're going to have somebody talking to you about something that is most important to you as a pastor, and
right.
you want to have honest conversation and the ability to speak clearly and truthfully with one another.
Well, this is maybe another important thing for the listener, if you're a lady out there, to know that for the pastor, this is the most important thing you said. It's like it's a baby, right? Like every
right,
week
yeah.
I'm getting up, I'm saying, look at my baby. and if you don't like my baby, well, what's wrong with my baby? It can be hurtful.
And I think the other thing is pastors don't often hear one another preach.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, circuit sometimes,
mm-hmm,
but
right.
not always.
Right, and this is an opportunity for pastors to get to know a little bit more about a pastor's congregation, about his preaching in that place, about his own competency, and to seek to build one another up in love.
So you said there's a series of modules,
right.
and we're talking to you because you are the designer, the author of the first of those modules that's being released on, now do you have the website? Can I say what the website
it's
is?
It's called, it's LCMS.org/preach the word.
Okay, so yeah. LCMS.org/preach the word. That module is already being released.
Mm-hmm.
There's no cost for
no
this?
No cost.
Yeah?
Completely free.
Yeah, yeah. But then it is self-administered as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And your particular module is focusing then on what?
The use of story in preaching.
Okay.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
Well, I mean, I think story's got a bad rap among uh-huh. some pastors.
Uh-huh.
It's people would call it storytelling, which I would hate that language of storytelling. It's
sure.
not storytelling. I mean, if we're preaching the death and resurrection of Christ, that is a story.
Yep.
And it's a story that saves.
Yep.
And it's not just a story that saves, but it's a story that incorporates our lives and our stories into the unfolding of God's kingdom.
Yeah.
And so it's a module that deals with what are the kinds of stories that you're using in a sermon, why are you using them, and how best to use them.
Right. I think, if I can be the devil's advocate here, the negative image of story, there's two ways. There's the whole, like, we're denying the history of the thing, right, just by using the word story. I've heard that argument.
Yeah.
I don't...
Well, it's kind of strange because you turn on the TV, the top story tonight.
Yeah, right.
Does that mean it's
not true?
Not true.
Well,
no.
These days with fake news, maybe it does. But the other side of this is that there certainly is a kind of preaching out there that is an overemphasis on my stories about my life or my tales about something that seems to have, for the listener, no context or no
mm-hmm.
reference to what's
mm-hmm.
really going on.
Right.
It's almost just kind of taken over the sermon, and there's not much Word of God left. But that's not really what you're talking about. You're talking about...
Thank you. No.
Yeah.
No, it's... that would be... Often those stories would be classified as analogies.
Right.
And so the module will talk about analogies, what would be the appropriate place. I think the things that you want with analogies, they should be short.
Yeah.
They should be
yeah.
poetic. And they should clearly lead to the point. They're not a 5-minute thing. They're usually a minute, 2 minutes at the most.
Right.
So, yeah. So you talk about analogies, examples, and metaphors, and those three different kinds of stories, how they work.
Okay. So that was analogy, which
mm-hmm.
is like a story from my life that applies and hopefully helps you see very clearly what I'm talking about.
Right, yeah. A teaching. Yeah.
So what are these other two examples and metaphors?
Examples are the thing in real life, right? So if you say God's strength is made known in weakness. What does that look like in real life? So an example would be a story that actually shows you what that looked like. It could be from the Bible. It could be the story of the Apostle Paul.
Sure.
Who utters that. It could be a story from history. Could be a story from real life today. But it's actually an example of theology embodied.
Okay. And then right. the metaphor?
And the metaphor is the last one. That's the larger big picture that invites people to meditate and think about many applications of the teaching. Jesus used them all the time. I am the light. I am the good shepherd.
Right.
Those are metaphors.
Right. Trying
right.
to, again, it applies it to your life, but not in a direct example way.
It shapes your life, right?
Yeah.
It shapes your imagination, the way you look at
it. I probably over-lean on the military, shield of faith,
mm-hmm.
sword of the spirit
there
stuff. But I would push that a lot just because for me personally, that's the way I want to think about these things in my world,
right.
even though I'm not actually carrying a shield and a sword around.
Right. You see, that is precisely the way in which a metaphor should be working.
Right.
So you're right.
Yeah. I also know that for me, the reason I love the word story, although I had a conversation with Pastor Peter Eel, was here for his time lectionary study yesterday, and he was advocating not using the word story, but using the word account, and we had a nice little back and forth on it. And mm-hmm. So last night I was like, instead I was thinking about, oh, maybe I should talk about the time. Do you remember the time when Jesus did this? Do you remember the time when, anyway, it's all just wordplay at a point, but... Where I'm trying to go with this, I love the word story and the idea of story preaching because the Bible is just filled with good ones, right?
That's right.
And yeah. It's not that I never would want to tell a story or an example out of my life or history or anything like that. But what I don't want to do is miss how many God has given me to actually just mm-hmm. say.
Right.
And how much of good preaching is just telling the story that's
right.
there. It's on the page. Speak it. Yeah.
Right. Yep. That's one of the encouraging things. I mean, I kind of opened with an example of thinking of storied preaching as working with a book of illustrations. And I said, well, what happens if you think of story preaching as working with a scripture?
Right.
Because
right.
that's what you are doing is you right. are preaching the stories of God.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And being to confess, right, is to, mm-hmm. That word can get abused as a political term as well, but to speak again, to same say, to repeat, catechism even means to echo, all of that, and good preaching is going to be, I mean, if it is the word of God, it's going to be what the scriptures say and not my own
right.
wanderings yeah. and pious meanderings.
Yeah. And Bob Kolb just wrote a good book on Luther and the stories of God.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that
right.
a Concordia Publishing House? Or Augsburg. He does Augsburg sometimes.
I really don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who published it.
Say the title again. Luther and
the Stories of God.
Luther and mm-hmm. the Stories of God.
I think it's been up for about probably 2 years, 3 years.
Bob Kolb, mm-hmm. A professor at Concordia
yeah,
Seminary St.
Right.
Louis with
yeah.
a lot of books.
A lot, yeah.
he's been prolific. So again, talking with Dr. David Schmidt of Concordia St. Louis about the Preach the Word Project. This is a module for parishioners and pastors and other pastors to try to focus on preaching as a valuable thing among us for the sake of celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. It's a free thing being provided for you by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and a number of people like Dr. Schmidt that are I believe, volunteering their time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find it at lcms.org/preachtheword. It's probably all one word. With about a minute left, any other closing thoughts or things you just want to share? Something, maybe tell a story?
No, I think I'm very excited about the project because I think what it does is it gathers us around one thing that we all agree on, and it enables us to hone our skills and turn our attention to the proclamation of the Word of God for the sake of His people. And what a better way to celebrate the Reformation, and what a better way to be a pastor.
Right, yeah. right. I think it was Herman Sasse who said that the Lord's Supper is the heartbeat of the church, and if that's true, I think it is, then preaching has to be our mind, you know, how we think, how we learn to discern in these days, and it's more than just, well, more than just story time, more than just a spiritual entertainment for 15 minutes. It is the thing that really binds us together. So, again, my guest, Dr. David Schmidt of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, thanks for being with me today.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm going to say it one more time for you out there. I mean, as the church, we live from what God says to us, not by bread, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How much more value can we add to preaching? There's none. It's everything to us. So why would we not, pastor out there, why would you not constantly try to improve it? Prisoner out there, why would you not constantly try to learn what's being said? Why? Because it is your life. It is your heart. It is your future. It is literally Jesus coming to you. And I'll tell you what, universe, you know this. Our Lord Jesus, He is coming back one day. May not be today, may not be tomorrow, but in either case, I'm looking forward to waking up with you again at the dawn. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. This is His Time, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.